continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Is this true that Leo Messi's World Cup victory post passed the egg? Do you know what the egg is? On Twitter? Is the most viewed, most liked Instagram post. It's not Twitter. It's the most liked Instagram post in history. Do you know what the egg is?
Oh.
No? It's just an egg, and apparently it was the most liked. Just a picture of an egg. Why would people like a picture of an egg? Can someone explain that? Anyway, Leo Messi's victory post, him holding up the World Cup trophy. Unlike his goalie who put the hand trophy in front of his stuff and held it like he was had a giant
saw that
thing going on there.
Yep.
Messi was holding it up and cheering. Yeah. What's the egg? What did Kenny say?
So there's an egg post on Instagram, and people liked it so that it could have the most likes on Instagram all the time.
It had been. No, I know. Messi just passed it, the egg.
Yeah.
Just passed the egg. Why would people like an egg?
Yeah, just a picture of an egg.
It's just a picture of an egg.
Yeah.
Did you like the picture of the egg?
No, but to me, the dress was always white and gold.
Oh, that thing? I don't know. Yeah, what do you see here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not it. It's just an egg. Messi passed it with the most liked post ever now.
What was his post?
This. Him holding the trophy.
Just that?
Just that. Him holding the trophy was the most liked.
How many likes did he get?
More than the egg.
2 million?
91,700?
No, that's just that post.
That's just this post. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. I don't know. I don't know how many. Doesn't say.
I must say at least 150,000.
It's
a joke. I know.
Oh, the egg had 55 million, and this is past 55 million. 55 million.
No.
Okay. Why is there 55 million? Messi's now is 56 million.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought Kim Kardashian would have more likes. Maybe if she posted a picture of herself or something.
Well, go to Instagram.
This is Instagram. This is Insta, I guess.
Oh, that is Instagram?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Instagram's where you get the most.
That's where you get the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you Kim is third.
In our world, we do Twitter more. You don't even have an Insta account.
I do have an Insta account.
You
I never go to it. I never.
Do you have
every
a Finsta?
Once in a while, I'll go and look, scroll through, and see stupid stuff.
Do you have your Finsta?
I don't have Finsta.
Okay.
I don't have Facebook.
Finsta is Insta. What is it? It's
I don't want anybody to find it's me your, on Facebook.
Not your fake Instagram. It's your second account, I guess. Oh. Dell was explaining it to us one time.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't care.
It's a second.
Twitter account. Was hard enough, and apparently Twitter's dying, so I'm going to be dead to social media.
No, Elon Musk saying it's bigger than it's ever been
engagement. Is it Elon?
I think the stats are saying that because people are so mad at him that they're engaging more. Like it's Skip. Like he's engaging in Skip Bayless behavior. If you see some of the stuff, like, dude, you got to have more things to do than. I just can't believe that Twitter is really nothing more than junior high and high school. It's not even, this is like, it's clownish stuff now from what it used to be. The way people behave, the way people, like, it's total clown. The whole thing is a clown app. I mean, I enjoy interactions I use it for the show primarily. And I enjoy interactions throughout the day. I think most of our users are pretty sane people. But in general, Twitter's become so, it's so hard to even.
It is
totally cartoonish. Yeah, yeah. Just like a movie, like I said, like a movie about high school. And you have the cool kids and you mm-hmm. have these kids. And then you have this sect and this group and this clique. And like, what is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
Can't you just like pictures of my, you know, pork chop? Can't you just give me a like for
your brisket?
Yeah.
Give Lance absolutely. A like.
I'm gonna cook one coming up here, and
ooh,
I'm gonna
put a
the last
out
one
there.
I did. I put. Oh, don't worry. It was literally it was soaking wet, the brisket. Oh, where was comments then? Like everyone like, hey, that's a picture of somebody else's brisket. It's me right here in my kitchen, you dummy.
Finsta is the account you use to hide all your scandalous behavior. Like, say, if you Mary Elizabeth Winstead, you know, you can hide that.
Me and Dell like her.
Yeah, well, that's Dell saying that.
Yeah.
That Dell is.
Did he say Mary Elizabeth Winstead? Oh, that was him. Okay. Yeah. I was about to say, ooh, that was very specific for John to know about Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
I didn't know about this. I didn't even think about it until right now. Miss Argentina and Miss Puerto Rico.
Oh, my God. I forgot about their account.
Yeah.
Hold on. Well, it's not Miss Argentina, right?
It's Miss Argentina and Miss Puerto Rico. Remember,
they're not both Misses,
yes,
right?
Yes, and they're
they were both Misses?
And they're together. They're I don't know.
Married, I think.
Are they married, or they're at least really, really good friends?
Shoot me that account.
And, don't know that account.
It fire just, that it economy real
they're
quick.
Both in messy jerseys.
Yep. And it and seems like celebrating.
It could get messy.
They're celebrating the golf.
Messy. Yep.
Man, if this was a satellite show,
what?
I mean, there's questions that need to be asked. There's comments that need to be made.
Yeah.
There's interjecting Lionel Messi into this conversation with those
right.
happily married, that, I think, couple.
With that double entendre.
Yeah, the messy. It's just a lot of things that could be said.
A lot of things going on there.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to take in, to discuss, to surmise into.
Right.
And frankly, you know, some hypotheticals.
Right. You know, we talk a lot about Lovey. When we come back, let's talk a little about Steven Silas. All right.
I don't want to have this conversation.
On the other side, right here.
I don't want to have this conversation.
Did you want to have a conversation about your pipes? How are your pipes doing now?
They're doing good. So yesterday they came out. So an issue we had. You know, I didn't really realize how janky some of the pipe stuff was at my house just when I moved into it. And it just has become issues over the years. There's a line.
Well, how old is your house now?
It was built in the 60s.
Yeah, so in those of you that are in a house like that, you probably are going to have some janky pipes.
You're definitely going to have issues. But they came out because what was happening was we have the double sinks, but they're connected with one line. So sometimes stuff from the garbage disposal would come up through the other side. And Aqueduct said, look, you need two separate lines. This is going to happen from time to time. You need two separate lines. Because the wife, it was not happy wife, happy life when that was happening.
Mm-mm.
And they came out yesterday, and Wilmer came out and knocked it out, man. He just created two different lines, set it up, ran a different line, and it was done like about an hour and 30 minutes. And Wilmer's fantastic. All the workers at they have multiple crews that come out and work on your job. But listen, you need to make sure you're weatherproof before the big freeze comes up. If you have any questions, call Aqueduct and ask, hey, what do I need to do? I mean,
well,
you better have this number on standby.
You better have this number because we're going to have a freeze, and there's a really good chance you're going to have issues. 281-488-6238, 281-488-6238. They have an emergency department where they'll get to your house as soon as they possibly can. I'm telling you, you got to have this number, 281-488-6238, especially this week. It's AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Tell me where the money at, ay, where the homies at, Universal call out, I can remember Sony that, ay, CC, wait a minute, Ben aquí, c'est la vie, I tell the whole truth from A to Z, ay, show me you real, show me that you bleed, ay, hello.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let me ask you a question. We talk so much about Lovey and how... Is it worse that they're... it's bad. Lovey's... It's just bad. It's just really bad. He doesn't have players, though. You're starting to get some players. And as a matter of fact, it may be even worse for Steven Silas right now because they show signs. They're beating Milwaukee. They're beating Philadelphia. They're beating Phoenix. And then they look like crap against San Antonio. Is that worse for a head coach? I mean, listen.
I think it is.
Yeah, because it's showing the owners, it's showing the general manager and the owner that we can do this. We're good enough.
That's exactly what it shows. They show you a glimpse of what you could be having, and then you see this, and you think, How are you not having your teams focused and ready for a game against the Spurs? This has happened twice. You had a big win. Was it Atlanta that you beat? I think it was Atlanta.
And then you went back to San Antonio.
And then you went to San Antonio and you got blasted.
Yeah.
And then the same thing happens this time at home, and it's the third loss in a row. This needs to be a get-right game and a revenge game. You don't.
Listen.
I saw somebody saying, look, I know the Rockets are tanking, but the Rockets are not tanking.
No, they're not.
The Rockets are not. The organization is not trying to tank.
I can tell you for a fact, they are not tanking. They want to win.
You know that for a fact.
For a fact. They want to win. And they want to see.
Read between the lines.
I mean, enough. Now, Wembanyama would be great, but let's stop already with the suck. Bro. No.
You're going to be in the lottery.
They're done. They don't want to embrace the suck. You know what? They want to win.
You're going to be in the lottery. Don't worry.
Yes. Now, no problem. You don't have any worries about that. Whether or not you're going to get that number one pick, oh, well. Even if you're in the top three, there's a really good chance you're not getting that number one pick. A better chance of not getting it than getting it. Much better. So we can stop with all of that. And here's the deal. We've known that he's been Steven Porter, right? He's been Bo Silas. His record, you can't turn around.
Well, I don't think it was intentional. Years. I don't think it was intentional, though. I think this was a year that he needed to really make an upward.
Well, and he was a good hire, actually, because he was doing really good things in Dallas. Yeah. I mean, his offense was good. Here's the thing about Steven Silas.
This is year three.
He might be too nice a guy. He just might be.
Yeah, you worry about that because he is a sweetheart of a man.
Yes.
He really is. But, man, you see, I mean, you never see him get on anyone. The only time we heard anything when you had Christian Wood and KPJ issues last year.
Because of John Lucas.
Was with Luke.
Yeah.
It was with Luke. This team played their best basketball when Luke was out when Steven was out after the passing of his father. Luke was there. Man, they played hard against the Bucks. And, you know, some of that was probably playing for Steven Silas. How about y'all play for Steven Silas against San Antonio?
Yeah.
Keep playing for Steven Silas, because if you don't, he's not going to be here, because Tillman is not going to sit there and have this level of losing for three straight years. What coach makes it out of that?
No.
Like, that's not something that happens.
Listen, no matter who they get next. And by the way, enough draft picks. I mean, I hear all these trades for Eric Gordon and draft picks. You kind of enough. Goodness gracious, with the Nets and yours and all of these picks that you've gotten, you've accumulated. Man, how young do you want to be?
You are young already.
You're already there. It would be nice to get in Wembanyama. I mean, there's no question about that. But yet you can't just continue to lose and lose and lose and lose and think that it's not okay. It's just not. And it's not going to be okay with ownership. I think this is a big game. It's Orlando tomorrow night. You think, well, you got to be better than Orlando. You have got to show up tomorrow because you've shown that you're as good. You can play with the Bucks. You can play with the Sixers. You can play with the Suns. But you can't play with San Antonio? You can't play with Orlando? No. You got to show that you can. Those are the games that you're supposed to. The other ones, if you lose to the Bucks and the Suns, you're like, well, those teams are just better, period. Well, you can't be losing these games right now. You've got to start to win, Steven Silas.
You really do.
I really think he's too nice. I really do.
A young team has to have a little firmer hand.
Yep.
I mean, it's one thing to be able to relate to players, this, that, and the other, but at some point, they got to do what you tell them to do, and you've got to get them to lock in. This is crazy, though. Think about this, though, John. Not to make an excuse. Name the last team that you've seen in basketball, and it happens a lot more now. Green, Şengün, and Jabari Smith are 20-20-19. You literally have a starting lineup where three of the players can't even legally drink. Like, that's pretty wild. By NBA standards, even today's NBA standards, that's pretty wild to have a team that is that young. And Kevin Porter Jr. is not an old player at all. Eric Gordon is. But you have three starters and three core players, by the way. Your three core players, they are unbelievably young. Think back to any other team we ever watched in basketball history, you know, before 2010, and even when the Clippers had their young team with, you know, Q Richardson and Darius Miles, they were younger, but not that young. And this is like unbelievably young core that you're building around.
That's not an excuse, though.
It's not an excuse, but the reality is there's mental maturity and physical maturity still to come. So it's you want to expedite the process if you're the head coach. And the bottom line is you have to. You showed people what they're capable of doing. You can't. They've got to do better, and Steven Silas really does need to get a handle on this team's level of consistency.
Yeah, that's it. That is it. And he's got to start chewing some butt. He's got to really, really start getting on guys for any lackadaisical defense, any non-movement offensively. They were terrible. Oh my goodness, that third quarter. I don't think you could have been any worse. But I'll tell you this, San Antonio was active defensively. San Antonio was closing out. San Antonio did not give them any open looks, as opposed to the Rockets on the other end. It seemed like everything San Antonio did was just so easy.
Mm-hmm.
So easy. And that just can't happen. It's got to stop. It has got to stop. And I don't know that Steven Silas, there's a chance he doesn't make it out of this season. There's a chance he doesn't make it out of this season. And one of the reasons is because you know how good this team can be. Opposed to the Texans, you're going to fire Lovie. We know they suck.
Well, the other thing is, at some point, you have to, at some point, you've got to get more out of the young guys. Like, you've got to see them trending in the right direction. And just when it looks like they are, it's back to the same thing. I mean, they're right now, they have the worst record in the West again. Like, you, RJ, you're a big basketball fan, and you see the Rockets, and you understand the talent that they have or the potential they maybe have. I mean, would this surprise you if a coach who's in his third season and once again is on track to have the worst record in the West doesn't make it through a year?
I mean, I guess eventually you have to try to put older veteran talent around the young guys that you have. However, if you do want to keep it a young team and you do want to build this team through the draft, or you want to just accumulate picks and try to flip them, I think you have the front office that will flip picks. But if you want to keep your young guys, the only guy that I can think about that if you don't want Steven Silas to continue as your head coach, call Golden State and try to get Kenny Atkinson. I mean, Atkinson did a great job in Brooklyn with D'Angelo Russell, Jared Allen, Caris LeVert. Guys like that who are young guys, kind of all of them were sort of the island of misfit toys. D'Angelo Russell was coming out of a situation. Jared Allen, we didn't really know what he could be. We just knew he was a tall guy with a fro, and then he turned into an all-star. So Kenny Atkinson would be my pick for
Let me ask you a question. Would this team, because they were, if Kelvin Sampson, if he was the head coach or he was their defensive coordinator like he was before, would they be a better team?
Well, on paper, you say yes. You have to get the buy-in. You have to. Do they have the mental toughness to be coached by Kelvin Sampson? And I say that with all – I'm being honest.
If you don't have the mental toughness and is an NBA player making all that money
– they don't go anywhere. The coach does.
That's okay. I know they would be better with Kelvin Sampson as their coach. They would be better. They would just be better coached, period. Period.
Yeah, no,
And if they don't buy in, then beat it. If you don't buy in, then you know what? They bought in when he was the defensive coordinator.
That was a totally different team. Bunch of led by vets, led by James, led by at one point Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza. I'm not sure if he was still there with PJ Tucker. Yeah, he was there with PJ Tucker, and then he left during that time. But he had Ariza.
Assuming that they're soft and young because they're young. They're
yeah,
soft.
I think Jabari
Smith would be coached up by Kelvin
Sampson. Jabari would be great. Yeah. I think Jabari would work
Jalen
great.
Jalen would too.
I don't know if KPJ – maybe. I don't know if KPJ, how he would deal with a coach. Listen, Kelvin's a little bit of a screamer.
Oh, yeah.
Kelvin's going to yell. You can't disrespect me like that. Don't you? I'm a grown man. I'm a man. When you have players like that don't want a certain way of coaching, they are going to get rid of you.
Well, I think you're assuming that they are that way, though.
I don't know that. I just know most NBA teams are not run that way anymore.
You know why? Because they never get screamed at. Except when they did, they went home. Christian Wood is gone. Beat it.
No, he was back the very next game.
He's gone now.
Yeah.
He's gone now.
Yeah, he is, but he's not a core guy.
No. Well, Christian Wood was a core guy. Yeah,
well,
he's a core guy.
He had a three-year deal. He was never
Well, no one knew how good. I mean, we weren't going to give him a longer deal than that when you first signed. For $42 million? When he signed for $42 million, I was like,
and maybe,
who the hell is he? And maybe why this are you team, giving him all this money?
Like, I think Jay Shante, I think there are some guys who have the personality to be coached harder. I just don't know that for a fact.
No.
And I don't think you can just assume that with young players who their only experience was AAU and then maybe a year of college, but not for Jalen Green. Like, when have they been coached? They may not have ever been coached.
Do you think Bruce Pearl coached him hard? Yeah.
Yeah, Bruce, I think Jabari Smith was probably, I think so. But Jabari had that personality. Yes. That's how his family is. Jabari already is that kind of guy.
Yeah. And you know what? If you don't buy, if you can't buy in, I disagree. I think you've got to find out, though. You know what? You might not want a Thibodeau. You might not want it to go that far.
Yeah, like JVG, I don't think I don't know if he'd deal with this team or not. I don't know. Maybe. And I may be not giving him enough credit.
I don't think you're
maybe
giving him enough credit.
Maybe these guys can be coached
they
hard.
They might want to be coached
but
hard.
But I do think coach hard is relative because Sampson may be too old school. But in the sense of Kenny Atkinson, as you
mentioned.
Well,
it's not like Kelvin Sampson's going anyway. I'm just saying.
No,
I'm just saying there is that if you think that another coach can come in here and get more out of them, then that's the death knell for Steven Silas. I mean, it's
hard to think that. Well, who doesn't think you could find another coach to get more out of him than Steven Silas?
Well, then that's, I mean, a bad thing.
No, I know. But, I mean, look how few wins they've had.
Yeah.
They got a tiny – Jalen Green had this incredible run last year in the season. It was just filled with losses.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't winning any of those games.
No.
They finished on a big losing streak, and that guy was busting 30 a game.
Well, he ain't doing that now. And maybe you got to find somebody that's going to get more out of him right now. Because if he's going to be the guy that you build around, he ain't doing it.
But you ain't getting a new coach in season. You'll get, maybe Luke. And maybe that wouldn't be a bad thing.
Maybe that wouldn't be a bad thing. All right, it's 830 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6, the number you want to get in here. Right now, it's time to talk about Craig DeCerf and not Steven Silas.
No, let's talk about Craig DeCerf. But both of them run teams. It's Craig's team that he runs is a team of people who are in the service department, teams of people who are in the sales department, people in financing, people across the board. And the great thing about my friend Craig DeCerf over there at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC is that he has people in place who are terrific, really good people who care about the quality of service you get, who care about the price you get, who care about the selection that you have. They are going to do everything they can for you to have a positive experience. The car buying experience should be run by you. They were there to answer your questions, to find you the best programs possible for purchase or lease. And if that means finding you the most discounts they can for a Chevy Silverado, they're going to do that. For a Chevy Traverse like I drive, they're going to do that. Whether it's a purchase or a lease, your trade-in value is going to be exceptional for the vehicle that you have right now. And they will find you all the dealer cash that they possibly can find for you from the manufacturer, and that's a promise. So when you're headed to Angleton, it may be a little longer drive, but just think of the money that you are going to be saving and the way that you're going to be treated before, during, and after the sale. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. To check out all the vehicles they have in stock before the end of the year, go to LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Thoughts and prayers out to the NRG Stadium roof. Might be dead.
Dead?
Yeah, they couldn't open it the other day.
Now, why would they try? When's the last time a roof's been open?
It was
there?
A nice day. Sunday was a nice day.
When's the last time? We had an open roof this year. There was an open roof game this year, I think. Right?
You sure?
I feel like there has been. I remember they had an issue during the hurricane, but they got all fixed, right?
I was there, and I talked to high-ranking official, Texans official. Mm-hmm. And he said, ain't on us. Hey, just so everybody knows, this is not our doing, okay? We may screw up a lot of things. This wasn't us. By the way, it's so Harris. This sounds like a you problem, Harris County.
So this is Harris County.
Yeah. This is the sports authority's got to fix this.
So you have a retractable roof that can't retract.
Yeah.
It's broken.
It's always been a dumb thing. They made a gigantic building with a little opening, and they tried to grow grass in there.
Yeah.
With no sunlight on most of the field.
Yeah, it needed to be bigger. I guess from a structural standpoint,
like the Astros, the way that it opens up.
Yes,
it opens up for the whole field, so you can actually grow grass in there.
Yes,
some brains are, and I heard it was an Aggie. Let's not do that, okay? It
yeah,
wasn't
don't
an
do
Aggie
that.
Who did that?
Don't do that.
It might have been though. I think he was an Aggie, but I don't know.
I mean, structurally, sure. It's more
no
sound.
There's no way to find out who did it, who designed the building. But
there's a way.
No, I think it's impossible. We don't want to do that. But yeah, apparently now they're trying to open it. Wanted to open it yesterday, but it was the weather was too bad. Might have been too windy to open a roof or something. I don't know. But, it was a bad day yesterday. My Frankie came in. Her flight was delayed like 4 hours. And she was leaving New York for here, but it was because of here that she was delayed.
Yeah, we had some different rain. I don't know why that would be.
I don't know
yeah.
either. Maybe it was just all backed up. What a great place it is to fly into Intercontinental. Anyway,
I'm so blessed. Alec has started taking flights back from Alabama on Southwest because I'm at Hobby. I'm like, gee, what? This is easy to get out of.
Try and pick somebody up at Hobby though too. That's a pain in the ass.
Oh, really?
As well, yeah. That's no good. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to get, let's get LSU Brian in here, and then let's do this Rex Ryan thing. What's going on, LSU Brian?
Hey guys, good morning. I'm going to talk about the Rockets a little bit, man. So you have to figure out a couple things going forward. They're an incredibly young team, but they have. Man, it's a bright future, and that's why everyone's excited. So it really is frustrating seeing them, be good teams and then lose to the Spurs and stuff. And that, like I said, that comes down to, it's a young team, so inexperience, inconsistency because they are young. But it does go on Silas. But other than coaching, I mean, I think I like Silas. I think everyone does, and hopefully it works out for him. But with the young guys today, maybe he's not stern enough. Maybe, he's a player's coach, but he can also be more effective by being stern. But it's not just coaching. It's the players, too, going forward. So my thought is, like y'all said, John, you said Şengün, Jabari, and Green is your future. That's your three core guys. But, I mean, just like in football, you got to have a quarterback to that's the most important piece. You got to have a quarterback to facilitate all these guys. And KPJ, he's not a point guard, man. Not saying we can't utilize him on the team, but not as a point guard, maybe a sixth man. But I don't think he's going to want that role. So going forward, you got to figure out, is Tata your point guard of the future? Or, do you – hope to get, say, second pick to get your point guard, but that's my thing. I think that's the biggest question outside of Silas. Is KPJ your future? And if he is, I don't think he can. He's not going to get the potential out of the other guys. So that's my main concern is that point guard position.
I don't know. All I know is there's frustration over there, and it's real because I think it's warranted because you see how good they can be, and the inconsistency.
How could you not be frustrated?
It's frustrating. It's frustrating. I can tell you that. I can tell you firsthand knowledge of the frustration that there is over there, and only because they know. Listen, you know that you can be really good. You know that. You've seen them, but.
Maybe not really good, but you can be better than this.
When you're beating good teams, then you know you can be. Yeah, I mean, well, at least show some consistency. That getting blown out at home by San Antonio is unacceptable.
Right.
It's just unacceptable. So they just gotta be better. That's all. 8:41. Now Rex Ryan, he went after Jeff Saturday.
When Jeff Saturday was hired, Rex was really ticked off. I think a lot of coaches were, because that really kind of diminishes the. It's basically saying, yeah, you don't really need to have studied or spent any time, you know, moving up the ranks to become a coach. You can just pull somebody out of the off TV to be a coach. And I thought that with Mike Mayock as a general manager, it didn't work out. And so Rex Ryan, you know, went after the Jeff Saturday hire, and he was not happy with it. Saturday got that first win when they played. They beat up on the Raiders, and since then it's been two close losses and then one blowout against the Cowboys. Rex Ryan, after this last loss, the biggest in NFL history, biggest comeback, Rex Ryan cut loose on Jeff Saturday.
Epic fail here by the Colts right here, a team that gave up in the fourth quarter of the week, the game before against the Dallas Cowboys, and now you got this performance right here. And don't sit back and say, well, that could happen to anybody. No, it can't. It's impossible. It's never happened in the history of the game. How about we have some idea how to close a game out? This was absolutely an embarrassment for this franchise, and they've had some bad moments this year, but this is absolutely atrocious right here. And by the way, if this is the National Football League. When you have good conditions, you can win the game. As bad, as embarrassing as this game was, if you kick a field goal, it's 54 yards, I got it. In ideal conditions, why are we giving the quarterback who's 100 years old and squats about 100 pounds, and he's going to, that's the best you got on fourth and inches? I'm sorry, it's a horrendous play.
So you're talking about Ian.
And I get it. This is one of our our colleagues or whatever, but it's terrible. What are you, I'm supposed to sit up here and make up the fact that this guy has no NFL coaching experience? It showed up in a big way in this game.
More him or more the guy calling the plays, Parks Frazier? Who's it on?
I don't know. Probably, but Saturday might have input in that one. He might have input. Look, slow developing running plays a lot of times don't work. I like quarterback sneaks with most quarterbacks. You maybe could have brought Ellinger in for a quarterback sneak. A lot of people are doing it now with tight ends.
Yeah.
The tight end lines up there. I can just tell
and
you
if the
college,
snap goes bad, then you go, everybody goes nuts.
When college, I can tell you this, in college, I know it was Wisconsin with
our
Paul
tight
Chris.
End can take snaps, but he's also our quarterback.
Yeah, Jeff Driscoll. I remember when Paul Chris at Wisconsin, he used to literally just put two guards right behind the quarterback, and it was like we're just going to bulldoze this guy forward. It almost never loses.
No.
Like, why would you not do that? Matt Ryan is probably not the guy great for a quarterback sneak, but also play action works almost 100% of the time there because everyone's so hyped on.
Or hand it to the running back, and then he jumps up in the air and
throws
it over
pass.
The line.
The running back jump pass that Holy Cross ran.
Yep.
Why don't you run that?
Why don't
you
run
that?
You
have the balls to run that?
Jeff Saturday.
How would that have looked if Jeff Saturday run running back jump pass and it didn't work? Honestly, 54-yard field goal, you usually say, you know, you don't want to do that. But now, that, like this
54?
Year, 54 is like, I'm just thinking, 54, yeah, I mean, it's almost a lock that they're going to get it to the 54 now.
Yes.
It's almost a lock that with the legs that these guys have.
But then you give the other team the ball on the 44.
You do, but you are already really losing. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But if you make that kick, they really don't have enough time to score twice.
And if you make the kick, it's over. You're trying to win the game, and that was, listen, Kellen Moore's catching it for his offensive play calling. They third and 10, and they're throwing a deep route?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
It's unbelievable.
I could not believe that was the play that they called.
Can't be worse.
Dink and dunk.
Yeah, I mean, that cannot be worse. That he actually lost the game for them. They should have. What they recovered with what? A minute something left after Trevor Lawrence fumbled that ball? Everybody thought it was over, and he's throwing a deep ball instead of just running the ball, make him use another timeout or whatever. But throwing a deep ball, a low percentage pass on third and 10?
You kill off clock.
Unbelievable.
You kill off clock what you do. If you want to, if you're worried about throwing it, you know, there's wide receiver screens, there's hitch routes, but not not low percentage throw.
No,
that made no sense.
Can't be dumber. All right, 713-780-377. Listen, coaches don't like the Jeff Saturday hire. So,
no.
And Rex Ryan is an old school coach. There's no question. He ain't about that Jeff Saturday life. There's no question about that. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, reminder: our Christmas party is at Nick's place on Friday morning, 7 until 10. All the Coors Lights, we're gonna be giving off Coors Lights, all right? We're buying your Coors Lights at Nick's place. Mark Klein is going to be there. We're going to have food for you. It's going to be just the same. We'll have the onside kick. We'll be giving away all kinds of jewelry. Eggnog chug, we got to do that right on Nick's floor. I mean, where people can just, you know.
Is Nick going to be okay with that?
They can hurl right there. I want to see it. I want to see it.
You know, last year, the last time we did it, I don't know if it was last year, but the last time I was involved with it, 20. No, wouldn't have been 20. It was COVID. We had back-to-back COVID years. We couldn't do it.
19.
So 20, so it would have been 19. They plowed through the half gallon.
Yeah, they did.
So we may have to up the
maybe there won't. Maybe nobody will puke this year. That's fun.
With nobody pukes?
Somebody will puke.
I mean, last time nobody did. They all drank a half gallon.
I know.
Do we need to up it to a gallon?
Well, or two.
Well, we don't need more than one.
First, you have to eat a pizza. Okay.
I promise you. Now, that's the real key is they have to eat something first and then they do it.
Yeah.
Then we're talking.
Right.
But they get a win. They get to win jewelry.
Well, they get to, win an earring or something. Maybe even two. I don't know. But.
You can win two.
Win two earrings. Right now, though, we got a little. Oh, maybe they should chug champagne, or tequila,
or tequila. No, we're not chugging champagne or tequila. Maestro Do Bell is not a chugging tequila. It's a sipping tequila. There's a big difference. Number one, when you sip their tequila, you are going to taste the flavor profile, and each one of their tequilas is different. The Reposado is way different from the Añejo. The Añejo is different from their Silver. Their Cristalino is unbelievable because it's a blend of three tequilas. It's charcoal filtered, and then it's aged, and it's barrel aged, and the result is just phenomenal. And no matter what type of the Añejo Extra Cristalino is, like the top of the food chain, it's an expensive tequila, but the boxing and the bottle design is just really incredible. I promise you. You're going to really love Maestro Do Bell. If you're a tequila connoisseur and you're a sipper, or maybe you're just somebody who loves a great margarita, then maybe you jump on that Silver that they have. But if you're somebody who wants to have a fine tequila on your shelf, make sure that you've got Maestro Do Bell available. And send me a picture. As always, I love seeing what it is that you guys are buying, and I love to hear your response about how you like it. It's Maestro Do Bell. Wherever fine liquors are sold or at your local restaurant, if they're not carrying it, tell them to get on board with Maestro Do Bell.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's literally been 15 minutes since y'all tried to do math. Can we get back to that? What math did we try to do and screw up, Jack Hay?
What math did we?
Maybe the billions of people watching the World Cup? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. If you want us to get out a spreadsheet on that, we can. Boy, RJ, how about the response you got yesterday when you posted the question about... I thought that was a lie. You can talk about the Uncle Mike, Michael Brantley as well. But, man, the response about... doing an early deal with Fromber, what would you do? Or what was your question?
So my question was, because John, was asking, just about the numbers of a possible deal, I just wanted to give it to the listener. What would be a fair contract offer that you would give to Fromber Valdez? And it got a lot of traction, and a lot of people gave their thoughts and opinions. John and I were kind of speaking on it before the show. John did think there were some outlandish offers that were out there, but yeah, a lot of response to that.
Yeah, well, I mean, some we got people some went ridiculous, like 6-180,
and then I saw 6-95,
6-150. How about Pretty Butterfly had this? $500 per hour for practices, $600 per hour for team events, $2,000 per hour for regular season game, $3,000 per hour for ALDS. He's not getting paid by the hour.
So they just punch in?
Yeah, you clock in and yeah. But wait a minute. They show up at 3 for
Does he get paid for
they
games?
They show up at 3 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game, and they're there till after 10.
Well, that's $2,000 an hour.
Yeah, that's a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
But although they probably make more than that.
$14,000?
Yeah, that's, they make way more than that.
That's $14,000 every game. Can't just be when he pitches.
No.
$14,000 every game that's played.
$20 million a year.
Ooh, yeah.
They make a lot more than $2,000 an hour.
Well, $14,000 would be, so it'd be $140,000 in 10 games.
Here's the math, Jackie.
100 games would be $1.4 million. Yeah, that doesn't feel like a good, that doesn't feel like a good deal.
$20 million divided by 162 games, $123,000 each game is set. You got to be there for 8 hours. Divided by 8.
There's some math. More math.
$15,000 an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way off.
Yeah, you're way off on $2,000 an hour. Stop already. Is he going to make $20 million a year? I think so. Would you?
Well, what do you
give
mean?
Him five? You'd give him five.
I told you, 100. I'd give him $6,120.
That's
what
$20 million a year, I think.
Yeah, and I think because it's, I mean, on the open market, he's 30, but you don't get to the open market. So what you're doing basically is saying, look, you're not going to get paid market value for these additional years, but we're giving you more money than you would have got in arbitration.
Again,
so it balances out.
Well, will it balance out? Because if he's going to get seven this year in arbitration, he'll get 10, 11 next year. He'll get maybe close to 8, 15, 16, 18 maybe in the third year. So that's 25.
Why are you doing math right now?
That's about 30. That's about, listen, he's only going to make on average about $12 million a year during arbitration.
Okay, 3 years, that's $36 million.
Yeah.
And if you look at
$12 million a year.
The other 3 years, then I'm 3 years.
Do you think
at
30, he's going to be a $20 million a year guy
after
those 3 years?
Three at 30, I think he's a $30 million guy. So three,
really?
Three at 30 on the open market.
Well, let's see how he pitches these 3 years, though.
But if you were doing three at 30 plus that amount of money.
If he's pitching as well as he is right now, he's a $30 million guy.
Well, as he has the last 2.5 years.
Right.
It's not 1 year.
Well, he's got 3 more years to prove, though.
Well, I understand. But what I'm saying is if you pay early, you get a discount on the back end.
Sure.
But if he's a $30 million a year guy on the open market, which is a starting pitcher coming off the season he had, it's not outrageous relative to the contracts we've seen. If you did that, especially when he's when he hits the market for
sure. Let's say he's a 30. That's 90 plus 36. It's $126 million over 5 years. You would get a discount at 105. Yes, you would get if he is a $30 million pitcher, which I'm not sure he is.
Well, no, we went 3 years. 3 years plus 3 years. You went 3 years
right.
at 30, 90.
36 That's six. For the arbitration years plus the 90 is $126 million he would get over 6 years.
Yeah, and I was saying 6 and 120.
Yeah.
I don't think it's. I think it's a very reasonable number. You're basically taking your back-end money
right.
and you're front-loading it. That's all you're doing. You're paying him $30 million a year.
Okay, that works out if you really believe he's a $30 million a year pitcher.
I have to. I mean, he's shown me enough. This is not fluky stuff. It's not fluky stuff. Every metric shows soft contact, home run numbers are the lowest in the league, highest ground into double
if
plays.
If I'm him, I'll take 6-120 right now because I think the max that he'll get is 136, and you're getting the guaranteed money now. Because if he doesn't pitch well these 3 years, he ain't getting close to 30.
No, and if he
pitches, he's going to be an older guy.
And if he pitches better, if he continues to pitch like he's pitched since COVID started,
I think it's more.
He's
like,
going to be like
more
a
like
30,
105. I think it's more like that. More like 6-105 to 5-105 in that neighborhood. I don't think they'll do six. I just don't.
Well, that would still be. It'd still be the number. 5 at 105 would still be, you'd still be at 20.
Yeah.
So you'd be a little over it. It's something either one of those I think they should consider.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a history of signing guys when they hit free agency.
So RJ put out a Texans one today.
Oh God, he already
has. And let's see how that compares.
Go read the Justin Reed one. He put that out. Justin Reed
many,
said
how many
the
hits
Texans.
You got on that one? How many likes, as opposed to the, and responses do you have versus the Fromber or Michael Brantley?
A lot less. We posted that yesterday. It was a lot less than
Well, sure it is.
The Fromber, but it was a lot more mean, the response to the Fromber
was. It's never a good sign.
No.
Michael Brantley one had like 3,000 likes, you said, right?
Oh, yeah. The Michael Brantley one before he got signed, went over like
3,000. Is that as many as Messi had?
No, not as much. Not yet.
Yeah, we're getting
there. Yeah.
Not yet. But the Texans was like, when I saw it, it had been, you had put it out there for several hours, like one comment, two likes or something. I just thought, this is just pathetic. This just looks sad, this engagement.
Mm-hmm. We got to take a break.
Someone, I downvoted it.
Someone 3780.
I reported your account, RJ. I reported the ESPN account for saying something about the positive about Texans.
Cruelty.
Well, why does everybody always got to be mean?
Did you mean to open a report?
I did. Giving the conversation to you.
Did you mean to bully the Texans the way you did?
Like, it asked me when I reported, I'd like to report this ESPN 97.5 account. Okay, you're opening a report. What are you opening it for? I put spam. Spamming us.
Like, I posted the Andy Reid quote that we spoke about earlier today. Somebody's going to say Andy Reid cares more about the Texans than we do. That's mean. Why say that?
Because people are mean and ugly. They're ugly to our team. So don't put anything about the Texans. Otherwise, if you're going to get what you... Why don't you put a Cal McNair picture up and see how that goes.
Don't stop.
See the kind of... No, you will get our account suspended for bullying because it'll be ugly for Cal. It won't go down well. I got to tell you right now about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. And John Clay Wolf, I just heard, you know, his guy, his sidekick, the guy he does radio with, well, one of the guys he does radio with, has got a commercial, a recorded commercial out, and it talks a lot about trucks. By the way, it's all the same. You got a car, you got a truck, it doesn't matter what it is, okay? But trucks are really hot, okay? And they're getting a lot of money. So if you have a pickup or you've got an SUV that right now you need to sell, you're getting good money for it. You're still getting good money for it. Jack Lewell says, what a year it was. I mean, with the car industry as upside, as screwed up as it was with the chips and not being able, not having workers, not being able to build cars, the car industry, the used car industry went through the roof. John Clay Wolf was in the middle of it, and he was giving more money to everybody else. Well, guess what? You're still getting big, big money for your cars, but the market has got to flatten, right? It's got to at some point. So what you want to do is if you need to sell that car, you need that money, do it now at GiveMeTheVin.com. And trucks are welcome. As a matter of fact, more than welcome. And you'll probably get a lot more than you thought if you go to GiveMeTheVin.com. If you're selling your car or truck, there's one place to go, GiveMeTheVin.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple of knuckleheads, if you ask me.